money and your partner make you.
Wow, it's hot here in the Love Shack. You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson.
There's all sorts of community events in the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, like the Columbia County Health Department's COVID-19 vaccine clinics that are held every Tuesday from 1 to 3:30 p.m., the Columbia County Human Services Building at 325 Columbia Street. You don't need an appointment, but you can call 518-828-3358, option 4 for more information, or go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org to find out more information about the vaccine clinic that's available every Tuesday at the Columbia County Human Services Building from the Columbia County Health Department.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Kravitz and Son Roofing, a local family-owned and operated full-service roofing company for more than 48 years. Specializing in residential and commercial roof construction, repair, maintenance, and replacement, using high-quality and affordable roofing products. Information at 518-567-4026 or online at KravitzandSonRoofing.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tunstall Studio Publishing of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We love Roll Call, y'all. Boogie Down Productions, Rob Bass, Dana Dane, Molly Marr, Olatunji, Chuck D, Ray Charles, EPMD, EU, Alberta Hunter, Run DMC, Stetsasonic, Sugar Bear, John Coltrane, Big Daddy Kane, Salt and Pepper, Luther Vandross, McCoy Tyner, Biz Marquee, New Edition, Otis Redding, Anita Baker, Thelonious Monk, Marcus Miller, Branford Marcellus, James Brown, Wayne Shorter, Tracy Chapman, Miles Davis, Force MDs, Oliver Nelson, Fred Wesley, Maceo, Janet Jackson, Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, George Clinton, Count Basie, M2 May, Stevie Wonder, Bobby McFerrin, Dexter Gordon, Sam Cooke, Parliament Funkadelic, Al Jarreau, Teddy Pendergrass, Joe Williams, Wynton Marsalis, Phyllis Hyman, Sade, Sarah Vaughan, Roland Kirk, Keith Sweat, Cool Moe Dee, Prince, Ella Fitzgerald, Diana Reeves, Aretha Franklin, Bob Marley, Bessie Smith, Whitney Houston, Dionne Warwick, Steel Pulse, Little Richard, Mahalia Jackson, Jackie Wilson, Cannonball and Nat Adderley, Quincy Jones, Marvin Gaye, Charles Mingus, and Mary Lou Williams. We want to thank you all for making our lives just a little brighter here on We Love Radio.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Georgia. I'm going into fifth grade, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Mashuda. I'm 19 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Fahim. I'm 16, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love,
books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today.
Yay, like every time. And we also talk about some other things, but mostly books.
Mostly books.
Talk about book-related stuff. So yeah. All would fall under the category of bookish.
So who wants to get us started talking about a book? Georgia, go ahead.
My book is called Stepping Stones. It's by Lucy Nisley. And This is actually based off of something that actually happened in her childhood. She just renamed everybody. So I'll read the description. Jen is used to not getting what she wants. Jen did not want to leave the city. She did not want to move to a farm with her mom and her mom's new boyfriend, Walter. She did not want to leave her friends and her dad. And she definitely did not want to get two new sisters. So it's a graphic novel. I think this is a middle grade graphic novel. Like, though it's appropriate for all ages. It's called a middle grade novel, but I think it's like 6 and plus. It's a good book. I really like the drawing style. A lot of what adds to what makes me like a graphic novel is the drawing style. The drawing style, it's kind of, you can clearly see, it's like clearly a drawing. They add an outline and then they color it in. It's mostly big shapes, but then the faces and the things that are detailed, and then the faces are very detailed. So it's really good book. I love the story too. And actually, this is a true story. And the author actually, I really like the author's note for this.
You want to read it?
Sure. When I was a kid, my parents split up and my mom and I moved from New York City to a little place set in Rhinebeck. She wanted to grow flowers and berries and get her hands dirty. I wanted to read comic books inside where it was clean. But sometimes when you're a kid, you're just along for the ride. I wasn't always thrilled with my mom's decision to become a super farmer lady. But I didn't have much of a choice about becoming a not-so-super farm kid. Then my mom got a boyfriend. He was loud, bossy, and annoying. I'd never met such an annoying grown-up as daughters, a loud, bossy kid, and a whiny little sister. Suddenly, I was sharing my room every weekend with these total strangers. One of the worst things about being a kid is find yourself in these situations where you have no control over the decisions the adults are making that affect you. But sometimes it is also one of the best things to find yourself in a situation you couldn't possibly have chosen for yourself, totally at sea. It can sometimes bring unexpected beauty and introduce strangers that become family. My Andy is still loud and bossy, but she's also brilliant and funny. My Reese is much less whiny now and much cooler than all of us, as she has always been. My Walter was both annoying and beloved until his dying day. My mom is still getting her hands dirty and loving her life in the country. And I am so thankful to her for forcing me to endure such a beautiful childhood full of rattlesnakes and ponds and lots more stories to tell. Actually, that was not a rattlesnake. I looked at the picture. That was a gardener snake. And there are no rattlesnakes around here. People think there are, but I don't think rattlesnakes live in New York. So I think they just are thinking of garden snakes.
No, there are rattlesnakes in New York.
Really? I mean, not where we live.
My husband came across one on a hike recently.
Really? Like, not where we live, though. I've never seen anywhere we live.
I think he was in the Berkshires, but I'm not sure. But it was nearby.
And then another little note. Big shocker, I am bad at math. I'm not just bad at math, though. I'm dyscalculic. It's a little like dyslexia, but rather than reading, this one impairs your ability to process numbers and magnitude. Okay, to all radio listeners, just because she says that like she is bad at math and she is dyscalculic, just because math isn't your strongest subject, that does not mean you're dyscalculic. Just math isn't your strongest subject. So just a little note from me. Back to the program. When I graduated, I breathed a sigh of relief that I'd never have to do math again. But then I became a comic artist and had to learn how to measure and divide page of pails. It was like algebra returning from the grave to haunt me. And then there's a little drawing of a little ghost dragging a bag that has the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in it and saying, "I'm back." Being good at something is less important than trying or practicing. After all, I became a comic artist after years and years of practicing my drawing and writing, and I'm much better at math than I used to be. My Andy, of course, is an engineer, and sometimes she has to draw diagrams and she's rotten at it, but she's getting better too. Who'd have thunk it? Has it? Sorry, that author's note and another little note was pretty long.
Well, though, it's interesting that she's from this area.
Yeah.
I've read some other books by her too. I like her artwork as well. Yeah.
This is actually the only one I've read by her.
I think that might be her only one for kids, like her only middle grade one. I think her other ones might be adult related, but there might be some crossover appeal with some of her other ones.
I think like she's one meant for like really little kids, like 4-year-olds. And then this one, older kids, and then the rest start.
Oh yeah, I think she has a picture book too.
So that's probably the only one for our age.
That's very cool. I think it's a start of a series too, so I think there's going to be more.
Oh, so it says also by Lucy Nisley, Fresh Milk, Relish, An Age of License, Displacement, Something New, Kid Gloves, and Picture Books, You Are New. I've read You Are New. It is definitely meant for like 3-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this one says, on Goodreads, it says it's Peapod Farm number 1, which implies there's going to be a number 2. So I'll let you know if I ever hear that's out. Yeah, it's fun when there's these new series.
Yeah, it sounds like a good book.
Thanks for sharing, Georgia. How about Mashuda? Do you have something you want to share?
Yeah, so today I came across a book that I just started reading and I love it. So it's like the middle school book called The Girl and the Ghost by Hannah Alkoff. So I'm going to read the description. I'm going to explain it. I think that's going to make our listeners understand the book better. So I'm a dark spirit, the ghost announced grandly. I'm your inheritance, your grandmother's legacy. I'm yours to command. Soraya is delighted when her witch grandmother gives her a palacet. She names her ghostly companion Pink, and the two quickly become inseparable. But Soraya doesn't know that palacets have a dark side, and they're not above hurting others to ensure their master's happiness. Pink never knew what true friendship was until he met Soraya. But when Soraya starts making human friends, Pink feels the sting of betrayal and jealousy begins to overtake him. Soon Pink's shadows threaten to consume them both, and Soraya and Pink must find enough light to survive before they are lost to the darkness. And in the cover, it says only friendship can save you. So it's like when I started reading it, and it first starts with a witch grandmother who I think creates this dark aura of a ghost. And so the grandmother, who's a witch, makes the ghost do all sorts of bad things, like making the villagers' crops go bad, the animals like not to help with the farming. She makes the ghost do all the dirty work so that the ghost will go out, and since nobody could see the ghost, he can easily ruin the fields. And so people come, and like the ghost will make it feel like it's cursed, and only the grandmother can fix the curse because she's like superhero and something. And people will come, the villagers will come to the grandmother and pay her lots of money, and she would pretend that she's fixing, but she was the reason why all of this happened. And then she pretended like she was a hero, saving all of the villagers from this curse. And then somehow the villagers find out. And when the villagers find out that everything is her doing, she just suddenly disappears. And then she would move to a different town. But then now this witch grandmother is in her deathbed. So like the only source of food for the ghost is drinking the blood from her. And the ghost like drinks the blood, and he imagines like, you know, it's not binding anymore. He can feel that the grandmother is about to die. It doesn't have like the energy anymore. So then she looks at the window, the sun rises, and then she dies. And then the ghost finds like pictures and letters of her daughter. In the book, you assume that it's her stepdaughter, and then the daughter sends her like so many letters. It's like, Mama, are you mad at me? Where are you? Come, you see your grandchild and stuff. But then the witch never really answered the letters, and the ghost finds it. And then somehow, like, you know, the blood to blood connection. Now, since in order for the ghost to survive, he has to look for a new master. So he smells the blood and goes and finds the daughter of the witch. And he could smell the daughter being very, very sad, low energy, you know, not happy. But then he suddenly hears giggling around the room and then see like this little girl coming, smiling to her mother, being happy, energetic, a pure soul. So like, you know, that immediately attracts the ghost. And now the ghost has found his master. And then that's all I read so far. And as you know, I know that they will become friends, and then she would go to school and become more popular, and she would have a big friend group, and the ghost won't like it. So it's their journey. So I'm going to read so far, and I'm going to find out. So readers should do the same, because it's a really good book. It's The Girl and the Ghost by Hannah Alcuff.
Two questions. Could I read it, or is like teens?
Yeah, I think you can read it. It says...
I do read some young adult books, though.
Age 8 to 12. How old are you?
10.
So I think you should be able to read it. Yeah.
Oh, it's 8 to 12?
Yeah.
Oh, is it a book? And like, not a graphic novel, I mean?
No, it's a chapter book. Okay. Yeah, it's one of the new books by Alcuff.
It sounds like a really good book. A Girl and the Ghost, did you say?
Yep, it's in our library kids, like the middle school section, so you should come and check it out.
Yeah, I'd love to. I love the library. I go to the Hudson Library all the time. I love the Hudson Library.
Yay. Yeah, it's the best place to read and relax.
Kids section is my paradise.
Are there any books that we don't have that you think we need to have in our collection that you like have noticed that we don't have in our collection?
I think you don't have White Bird, and you should really get White Bird. I don't know if that belong in the kids section or the young adult section. Probably the young adult, because there's a lot of violence and like blood spilling out of people. Ooh. It's about the Holocaust. It's historical fiction.
That's from the author of Wonder.
Yeah. So the bully, what's his name? I can't believe I'm blanking on his name. Do you know the bully's name? Okay, I can't believe I'm forgetting it. I think it starts with a J, or like the one who's mean to Augie.
Julian.
Thank you. Julian's grandmother is the main character of the story. And it's just a really good book. You need that in your library. And then, do you have the Princess in Black series?
Yes. They're not always in because people check them out, but we do have them.
Yeah. I had a feeling you probably had them.
Yeah.
You probably have To Kill a Mockingbird. I haven't read that yet, but I have it in my house. Do you have Smile, Sisters, and Guts? Mm-hmm. I probably do. Yeah, I think I've seen that.
If.
Do you have Best Friends and Real Friends?
We do. And we have the third one.
I just haven't been in the library in so long, except for like the programs I've been involved in because of the radio show.
You're saying that that section is paradise for you. I want to make sure it's as paradisey as possible. So if anyone listening ever has suggestions for books that we should add to the collection, we're quite open to suggestions. We like to have books that people want to read. So feel free to.
Oh, you have Zeta the Space Girl?
Yeah, I love that series.
Wait, it's a series?
Yeah, there's three of them. It's a trilogy. And then I think there's a crossover one with another series.
What series?
I forget what it's called. I feel like it's a... Is it Jack and the Beanstalk? I can't remember. I didn't read that one.
Jack and the Beanstalk went up to meet the giant. And now Zia the Space Girl flies in and kicks that giant.
Oh, Mighty Jack.
The Beanstalk. Boom, boom, boom. And hear his body thumping to the ground. Bye, bye, giant. Boom, boom, boom.
All right, then. Yeah, so there's a series called Mighty Jack that's by the same artist that did Zeta the Space Girl series. And so the third book in the Mighty Jack series is Mighty Jack and Zeta the Space Girl.
Ooh.
Pretty fun. Highly suggested. But on that note, we should hear from somebody else, see what they suggest.
Yeah.
How about Fahim?
I got a couple of poems to talk about. The first poem is called Summer, because it's during summertime. It's by Carlo Bitocci and translated by Geoffrey Brock. and it grows the vain summer, even for us with our bright green sins. Behold the dry guest, the wind, and it stirs up quarrels among magnolia boughs, and play its serene tune on the prose of all the leaves, and then it is gone, leaving the leaves still there, the trees still green, but breaking the heart of the air. That's the first poem.
I like that poem. It's very pretty.
Yeah. So the second poem is called From the Sustaining Air by Larry Egner. From the sustaining air, fresh air, there is the clarity of a shore and shadow, mostly brilliance. Summer, billows of August. When wondering, I look from my page. I say nothing. When asked, I'm finally and incompetent after all. And then my last poem called Firefly by Jacqueline Woodson, who's also an author, great author. It's almost May, and yesterday I saw a firefly. You don't see them a lot in the city. Sometimes in the park, in the near dark. One comes out, you'll hear a little kid shout. Lightning bug, firefly, it's almost May, and yesterday I caught a firefly in my hand. First firefly I seen in a long, long time. Make a wish, inside my said. Make a good one. Firefly wishes always come true. So those are my poems, mostly about summer.
I love fireflies.
Yeah.
I think I called them lightning bugs growing up, though. Do you call them lightning bugs or fireflies?
I call them fireflies. I mean, when I was little, I used to call them like all different kinds of things.
He was always adventurous, so he would think like...
I mean, it just looked cool. It just looks like, to me, when I was young, it just looked like light just flowing through. I didn't really know what insects really were. And they just looked unique to me, especially in the nighttime.
I like them. That's my spot. I love Jacqueline Woodson. She's one of my favorite authors. Brilliant authors. Thanks for sharing those. I like hearing some good seasonal poems. So I have a couple books descriptions to share, because this past week they announced the Eisner Awards, which are the big awards for graphic novels in the graphic novel industry. And so I wanted to mention the ones that are written for young people. But I also wanted to mention that the Best Writer / Artist Award went to Junji Ito, who we all know is one of Amelia's favorites, who she's been reading avidly this past year, for his work on Romina and Venus in the Blind Spot. So that's cool. I still haven't read Junji Ito. I have to figure out one to try out since it's one of Amelia's favorites. But for the young adult categories or youth categories, they have three awards. So one is Best Publication for Early Readers, which is up to age 8. And that went to Our Little Kitchen by Jillian Tamaki, who is lovely. Read a number of books by her, including Our Little Kitchen. And I will read the description for this. Tie on your apron, roll up your sleeves. Pans are out, oven is hot, the kitchen's all ready. Where do we start? In this lively, rousing picture book from Caldecott honoree Jillian Tamaki, a crew of resourceful neighbors comes together to prepare a meal for their community. With a garden full of produce, a joyfully chaotic kitchen, and a friendly meal shared at the table, Our Little Kitchen is a celebration of full bellies and looking out for one another. Bonus materials include recipes and an author's note about the volunteering experience that inspired the book. It's a very sweet book. It's definitely promoting community and cooking together and trying to use as much of the food as possible. You know, like how much food waste goes into cooking sometimes if you only use certain things. So it really shows the people working together to try to make the most of the food that they have to like serve people in their community, which is very nice. So it's a very fun read for young readers. And then the other two I haven't read, but I love the author and artist, and I'm excited to read them both. And so the Best Publication for Kids ages 9 to 12 is Superman Smashes the Klan by Jean Luen Yang and Guri Hiru. And I've actually never read anything by Guri Hiru, but Jean Luen Yang is fantastic, and I've read a lot of his books. So here's the description for this. And this is an ongoing series. So the book that won the award is the first three issues collected into a graphic novel. The year is 1946, and the Lee family has moved from Chinatown to downtown Metropolis. While Dr. Lee is eager to begin his new position at the Metropolis Health Department, his two kids, Roberta and Tommy, are more excited about being closer to the famous superhero, Superman. Tommy adjusts quickly to the fast pace of their new neighborhood, befriending Jimmy Olsen and joining the club baseball team, while his younger sister, Roberta, feels out of place when she fails to fit in with the neighborhood kids. She's awkward, quiet, and self-conscious of how she looks different from the kids around her, so she sticks to watching people instead of talking to them. While the Lees try to adjust to their new lives, an evil is stirring in Metropolis, the Ku Klux Klan. The Klan targets the Lee family, beginning a string of terrorist attacks. They kidnap Tommy, attack the Daily Planet, and even threaten the local YMCA. But with the help of Roberta's keen skills of observation, Superman is able to fight the Klan's terror while exposing those in power who support them. And Roberta and Superman learn to embrace their own unique features that set them apart.
Woo! I am going and ordering this book.
Yeah, as soon as right now, though,
I don't want to interrupt the show, you know. But yes, I am reading this as soon as I can.
Sounds really good. And somehow I missed this one. Usually on top of all of Jean Lynn Yang's new books, but I think it also came out like right towards the start of COVID, so maybe that's why I missed it. Who knows? But I'm so excited to know about it now.
What's the Young Adult Award?
The Young Adult one. So best publication for teens ages 13 to 17 is Dragon Hoops by Jean Wen Yang. So he got two awards, one for middle grade and one for teens. So here,
a very good author, or she, yeah. they must be a very good author.
Yeah. Very nice person too. I met him at a conference once and it was just couldn't be nicer. So this is the description for Dragon Hoops. Jean understands stories, comic book stories in particular. Big action, bigger thrills, and the hero always wins. But Jean doesn't get sports. As a kid, his friends called him Stick, and every basketball game he played ended in pain. He lost interest in basketball long ago, but at the high school where he now teaches, it's all anyone can talk about. The men's varsity team, the Dragons, is having a phenomenal season that's been decades in the making. Each victory brings them closer to their ultimate goal, the California State Championships. Once Jean gets to know these young all-stars, he realizes that their story is just as thrilling as anything he's seen on a comic book page. He knows he has to follow this epic to its end. What he doesn't know yet is that this season is not only going to change the Dragons' lives, but his own life as well. So that's Dragon Hoops by Jean Wen Yang. So this is based on his real life. He's a high school teacher.
Why did it change his life? Why? I need to know, but I can't read it. I don't want to have to wait 3 years to know something.
My guess is that it'll probably be appropriate, but what I'll do, I will read it and I will report back if I think that you would enjoy it.
But I feel like I've read a lot more than most adults. Like, the highest rated movie I've ever watched was rated Mature, MA, TVMA. It's like in between PG-13 or PG-14 and R.
I think a lot depends on the reader and what makes it rated a certain way. Because sometimes,
I think they should do it by TV rating. That actually would be less confusing because TV rating is more about maturity and not age. Mm-hmm. Well, some stuff is age, but a lot of it's maturity. Because we all know that most people watch PG-13 rated stuff before they're 13.
Sometimes it's not a good idea, though.
Yeah.
I watched Jaws when I was 6, and that
terrified me. That's PG-13? I haven't watched it. I have not watched Jaws. I have not watched it.
I would guess it's PG-13, because it's pretty violent. That shark.
I've not watched it. I don't think I want to.
It's pretty fun. I mean, it's. I just saw it recently, and it's a little dated in terms of its special effects, but it still works. It's still fun. I still understand why I was totally terrified of it as a kid, even though I didn't live near.
Was there like blood spilling out, people?
And they get eaten by the shark, yeah.
What's Jaws even about? All I know is that a shark attacks a kid's pool. That's it. Is that just like? Is it like a 2-minute movie?
No.
I'm just kidding.
It's set in a like beach community and summertime comes and it's supposed to be like the like big tourist season where everybody comes to town and all the local businesses make all their money. And you know, it's a big fun time period, but then there's a killer shark on the loose. And by on the loose, I just mean in the water.
On the loose, just in the pool. Imagine if there's like a killer shark trying to flop around on land, like
shark and model.